And we talked about his authority, that his authority is ultimate. And there was a question toward the end. Joan asked the definition of gravitas. And the definition, you know, I said it means gravity, and it means it's an authoritative word, the gravitas, that when someone speaks with authority, they have weight. Their words carry weight. And gravity is, there's the law of gravity, right? And we all abide by that law. There are certain things that we can do to defy that law temporarily in flying in a hot air balloon, but at some point in time, the air in that hot air balloon is going to cool down and gravity takes over. Gravity at some point, that plane will run out of fuel or there will be some mechanical issue and gravity will take over. At some point, that bungee cord might snap. You know, at some gravity in our time, and I would ask if Brian were here, you know, from the nuclear physicist side of things, what kind, you know, is there any way? Because we see it in science fiction all the time, you know, the anti-gravity devices and all those sorts of things. But gravity is a law, and there's authority there. And everything that's in creation was created by God. Through Colossians, we can see that it was created by Jesus. Through the book of John, everything that was made by him, by the Word. And Jesus being the Word, he was authored by the Father. He is the Word of God, the living, active, breathing, risen Word of God, power and authority that comes from him. And today, we're going to continue that look at authority and how you and I have been given authority in this world. And I've titled this Authority Authorized by the Author. And we've been authorized. Jesus' authority over everything. He is the author and finisher of faith. Satan, we learned last week and in weeks past, Satan has no authority. Remember in the wilderness when Satan tempted Jesus, he spoke words that he attributed to God Almighty. Hasn't the Father said? Hasn't God said this? Hasn't God said that? And Jesus refuted it. He refuted everything that Satan said by speaking truth, by speaking with authority. We looked at how when Jesus was in the temple, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people in the temple all looked at him. And this one speaks with authority. He knows what he's talking about. He just doesn't talk. He just doesn't go up and read his sermon in a monotone voice or read the Word of God in a monotone voice. Jesus speaks with authority. Like he's it's in him. He owns it. He is the Word. Now, we also looked in Job, where Satan doesn't have any authority or power unless God gives it to him. And how God said, okay, you can get into Job's life, but you can't touch him. You can't do anything to him. And we saw what happened. The devastation that came upon his family and his business, his house, everything that happened to him. And Satan came back and he said, well, you know, that's all well and good, but you haven't touched him. You know, you've put this hedge around him. He's protected. And God said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, you can touch him, just don't take his life. And so Satan visited upon him and gave him this terrible, the disease, those big Baghdad boils, and it got so intense. Kind of like if we get poison ivy, we get an itch, remember? And we just, oh my gosh, we get to the place where we're causing problems to our, you know, we're making the problem worse. Like, have you ever had chicken pox, you know, and remember how itchy it was, and, you know, mom and dad always saying, stop scratching it, stop scratching. You don't understand. And the, what is it, calamine lotion? Yeah. You know, it only works so much, you know, poison ivy. It's going to take an ocean and a calamine lotion. And so anyway, Satan has no authority except what God gives him. Satan, though, is also an author, right? He's an author, the Bible says, of lies. And that's what he did in the garden. He's been lying from the very beginning. He did it in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he lied again in the wilderness with Jesus. He's been a liar, it says, from the very beginning. Now, you know, I love to do these definitions. The word authorized means having official permission or approval. And those of you guys in the military, you were authorized at a certain level, at a certain rank, to have authority over those under you. And when you were given orders from someone who was above you, they were giving you authority to speak and to do and to act on behalf of those above you. And it was a responsibility. So we're in the same position here in the kingdom of God. And the Bible does refer to us as soldiers. You know, we are in the army of the Lord. We work in that way, and we have to obey our commander. And those words commander and commission, they are related. There's a relationship there in that word, the root. As I was driving into the park on Saturday, I talked about, you know, when you come onto base or you get into a certain place, and very often you'll see, you know, authorized personnel only, employees only, no unauthorized personnel beyond this point. And that sign is on a little sandwich board by our security gate going down into the park. So there's certain places where only employees can come through. And the bags are checked and the badges are checked and all that sort of thing to try and limit who's in the park. Only people who are authorized to go in. And I remember when we were at a particular church and we were having some issues, and we had a group there that called the Peace Officers for Christ. And the peace officers, the police came in and they spoke with the elders and the deacons in the church, and they gave us these little cards because we were having trouble with people coming in and causing trouble. There were threats against the pastor, there were threats against some of the elders and things going on. And they gave us the cards that were, as a duly authorized representative of this church, we are asking you to leave the premises. We are calling the Metropolitan Police Department. I can't remember what the whole thing was. Maybe you guys know what something like that would have entailed. But it was all of this legalese to say, we recognize that you're here, but you don't have permission to be on this property any longer. We're asking you to please leave. So, as a duly authorized representative, it's a person who is given the authority to stand in the place of another, a deputy, a substitute. Like we see all the time, York County deputy, right? Sheriff's deputy. They're, you know, Barney Fife with his gun and his one bullet. And Ange, anyway, you got to nip it.
More than Barney Fife.
Yeah. So there's no amendment to the agreement is valid unless it is signed by a duly authorized representative of each party. And when you and I, when Jesus said it is finished, that declaration paid in full was signed in his blood. And he is an authorized representative for us. Let's look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. And I was telling Tammy this morning, when I do my copy and paste from the Bible app over to my word processor on the device here, it doesn't give me the verse numbers. So a lot of times I'll go through and I'll edit and look at my Bible app on my phone and do all the verse numbers, and it gets rather tedious. So I didn't take the time to do that because, well, I was lazy, you know, working on Saturday and, you know, just lounging around this morning, using my coloring app on my phone because it's so relaxing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 16, it says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." We no longer recognize anyone in the flesh, meaning we've given authority to other people at times in our lives. Maybe we listen to what they've said. That was not an encouraging word. It was meant to tear us down and not build us up. But we have to learn to recognize that maybe those words sometimes aren't meant to tear us down. They're meant to say, look at this situation. You know, at some point I was talking with someone at work one day about a couple and the wife. There were some issues going on, and at some point, you know, well, maybe it's you. You know, it's one of the guys at work, and his girlfriend is still married, and There's a situation that's going on there, and her separated husband has been dating other women for 5 or 6 years and will not grant the divorce, and it's just a constant legal fight. And at some point, it's like, well, when did this fella come up and understand, you know, that all these ladies are leaving him, and they're all finding out? One of them had talked to his wife, and, you know, his ex-wife, well, soon to be, hopefully, and said, you know, I understand now that it wasn't you. It's him. You know, I believed this whole time that it was her. And, you know, I've seen that in my own life, where I would accuse other people and say, well, you just don't get it, and get angry with them. And then at some point come to this place, well, you know what? Maybe it's not everybody else. Maybe I'm the issue here. Maybe I need to fix this. And it becomes this, you know, more than a little bit of contemplating the navel. But anyway, we don't recognize anyone according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation to help bring other people into this relationship with God. To say, here's how God has worked in my life, here is the gospel, and here's how he wants to work in your life. This ministry we have been given. In other words, we've been authorized. We've been authorized to speak into the lives of other people. And I know David and Leanne take that very seriously in their lives, to speak truth. I've seen Sue do it on a beach, walking up to perfect strangers, and just go up and meet them and talk to them and say, is there anything I can pray for you about? And she recognizes, she has this empathy. You know, I need to work on that a little bit, the empathy part. And anyway, that's just a little. But we've been given this ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. He, on the cross, Jesus Christ reconciled the entire world. Everything that came before him, everything in that present time, and everything that came after that time on the cross. He reconciled everything. Everything that occurred in the garden was taken care of at that moment on the cross by his blood. I don't know what verse this is, but anyway, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We've been appointed. We've been authorized as ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? They embass. They're in an embassy in another country, and they represent their government. They've been given certain authorization to be there, to be a liaison for their people who may be in country, so that they can go to the embassy and apply for different things and have protection under the law and all those sorts of things. And reconciliation is a part of the Vineyard DNA. We recognize that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that means that, to me, one of the things that I harp on quite a bit is God has told us in his word, love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy. And I look at that and say, we love even our enemy, because we do not realize when our enemy will become our friend. He's still our neighbor. She's still our neighbor. But we love them. And we see that in the Bible, how God brought Paul to a place of being loved, because someone took the time and recognized, hey, this guy is the one who's been going around murdering the disciples of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, no, I want you to go talk to him. I want you to go care for him. And he brought Paul into his house. Remember the story? Well, at that time he was called Saul. And that man cared for him. And Saul began to listen to the word of God, and he became no longer an enemy. He became a friend, and he became a leader in the church. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Remember, we are no longer citizens of this planet. We may be, you know, we can be considered citizens of whatever country we were born in. We have citizenship. Maybe we've been naturalized. And we are now citizens. Accredited diplomat. That has another meaning, to be authorized. You've been accredited. You've been authorized. We are no longer citizens of this planet, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Let's see. Okay, let me see this verse here. Where are you at? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, this has to do with our ministry of reconciliation that we've been given, that we've been appointed to, that we have been authorized to work in, the ministry of reconciliation, sharing the gospel, talking to people, being there to build up, to encourage, to rebuke when necessary, to admonish, all of those things that we're called to do, to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, to speak the truth to one another in love. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have an advocate. And that word has to do with someone who supports, someone who upholds, someone who speaks on the behalf of another. An attorney is an advocate. To advocate, that word vocate, has to do with speaking, and it has to do with vocation. It has to do with a position, someone who is authorized, and they advocate. If we are accused of a crime, we hire an attorney, or we're appointed an attorney by the state who is there to be our advocate, to speak on our behalf. And there was a movie that had Keanu Reeves, the most wooden actor in the history of acting, and Al Pacino, one of the most overacting actors in the history of acting. And it was called The Devil's Advocate. And when I hear people say that, I want to play The Devil's Advocate here. No believer on the planet, no disciple of Jesus Christ should ever, ever speak on behalf of the devil. Never, ever. And I'll argue that point to fists. That we do not become the devil's advocate. We do not play in that realm. He is the author of lies. We do not represent a liar. We've been authorized to speak on behalf of Jesus Christ. He's made us his advocate to speak his words, not the words of Satan. The only time we say those words of Satan is when it's been put in the Bible. That's the only time we should ever say his frickin' words. We are not his advocate.
But every time you lie, you are.
If you do, yeah. But that's why first in 1 John it says, if you do sin, you have an advocate. And it's not the one who lies, and it's not the father of lies. He's there as our prosecutor. He's there to condemn us in front of the Father. We are an advocate for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the... In my mind, that's the end of that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this speaks to what you just brought up and what I was just talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 3, says, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicion, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and depraved of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain." Just like that one magician that went to Peter and said, "Hey, will you grant me this power, this Holy Spirit you're talking about? I want it too." And it's like, no, you don't. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. That harkens back to Job. You know, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'll go out. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I came here with nothing, I'll leave here with nothing. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you child of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, given authority to understand that you have eternal life. You and I live forever. Our souls are in Christ. We are now seated at the right hand of the Father, according to Colossians, which is a weird concept for me. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. To go back.
Maybe you're just on the edge of the seat.
Yeah. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He said the same thing to the Galatians. If I or anyone else come to you speaking a different gospel than the one you already heard. If anyone advocates, if anyone speaks on behalf of a different gospel, he is conceited. They're the ones that get into morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, fighting over the minutiae of different things in the world and making that, you know, what we used to call, and maybe we still do, majoring on the minors. You know, getting into this stuff that, in the end, does it really matter? Can we just move on from this and not argue? Because the arguments have a tendency, an argument can be good, but when it comes to this place of envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction, it's not productive in any way, shape, or form. At some point, we just have to say, let's drop it. Let's not get into this anymore. And let me see. But flee from these things, you man of God, you child of God, you woman of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance. Fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. What does that mean? What faith? Anybody? What faith? Who's Jesus Christ? He's the author and finisher of the faith. That's the faith that we fight, to represent him as we've been authorized, as we have been commissioned to do. In this pursuit of righteousness. Remember, we've talked about this before, the plumb line, when something is true. When you're building a wall, when something is plumb, when you take that lead weight, which plomo, lead, the plumb line, and that string, and you put it down so that it's perpendicular, and you know, okay, that's true. When you look at that, a rifle and the rifling and everything, that it's true. It's sighted. It's true. And so you know where you put that sight, you know it's going to hit the target because it's true. You know that when you put this house together, we try to make everything true. Sometimes it doesn't sit true to the world, but we do our best with the plumb line. So that's righteousness. Pursue godliness. These things just don't happen. Yeah, we are made righteous through the blood of Christ. But to continue, it requires work. Not that the works are bringing us salvation, not that the works are doing anything other than maybe earning us gems or, you know, different things that we don't really have to care about, storing up treasure in heaven. Pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith. Like I shared about somebody over there that reads every morning and does her Jesus thing every single day, trying to pursue the faith to run after it, to read the Bible, to read the devotions, to listen to the worship and praise music, to pursue righteousness, to pursue faith, pursue love. Love just doesn't happen. It will become more natural. Like David and Leanne reaching out, like Sue reaching out to someone. You know? Like you continuing to love on people. You know? Regardless of... And anyway. Yeah, being there for family, for friends, for acquaintances. No matter what, when other people give up on them, pursuing love, pursuing perseverance. To pursue this perseverance where we just say, you know what, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on fighting. Just like Hope is doing. Just like Elena does. Just like we all should. Someone was complaining at work the other day, a young guy, about being sore. My ankle hurts. I can't come to work because my ankle hurts. I'm like, you dirty little so-and-so. If we all stood up before you, you know, and started to recount all of our ailments, and yet we come in here every single day without any complaint. We just go, you know, you put on your brace, you put on your liniment, your ointment, you know, your lidocaine patch or whatever it is, and you take your Advil or your Tylenol or whatever else you may have been prescribed, and you go in there and you do your job. It's just the way it goes. Say, Lord, give me strength. Take hold. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So Satan is the author and finisher of lies. We're not to be his advocate, because when we advocate for him, we're speaking lies. We're not speaking truth. And as David just brought up, when we do lie, that's who we're speaking for. If we tell a lie to somebody, you know, remember the phone call thing? Liar! You know, when you pick up the telephone and it's the sales call, or, you know, hello, may I speak to so-and-so? And it's like, you're the one to answer the phone. It's like, she's not here right now. or yeah, my mommy's not home. You know, it's like, I think of that scene, because I was talking with Leanne about that one day, and we were talking about doing that sort of thing. And what came to my mind immediately was the scene from The Princess Bride, where the one guy is making up the little chocolate thing. It's like, well, he's dead. Well, he's mostly dead, you know. And the wife comes in and says, liar! So I just picture that, you know. Hell, yeah, my mommy's not here right now. It's like, so anyway.
That was Julie Johnson, Doug.
Is that a good lie? What's that?
He answered to his back.
So here you talk to him. So he's the author of lies, and we don't advocate for him. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We've been authorized. We've been commissioned. We have this authority to speak the gospel. We've been commissioned. It's an order to do it. And, you know, no matter how hard it might be, you know, how many times, you know, were you given an order, or you give an order that's come down from on high, and somebody finds it too difficult for them to obey that order, that command, yet they do. Even though inside they may be somewhat terrified, and they push the fear back and rely on training, and maybe the more you do it, the less fear there is, or maybe you learn how to control that fear a little better, and you have respect, and you use that situational awareness that we talked about a few months back to say, yeah, you know what, this is a very scary situation. This is a very serious situation. And, you know, I would counsel you all that, you know, with the bags that Angie and you have put together, you know, ladies have put together and all that, that when we give those bags out, to be careful. Be careful where you are. Know your surroundings. Understand who you're dealing with. you know, because not everybody that's homeless is in a right state of mind.
Have your hand close to the pistol.
Yeah, and if you know if it's something that you want to go out and do, you know, like you know what, I want to do this ministry. I want to get a bunch of these bags and go downtown, or something. Take another person with you. You know, that's why Jesus sent people out two by two, and he said, "Does any of you have a sword?" Or you know, it's like, well, we've got this dagger, and that was to be protected by wild beasts and maybe robbers or people that had ill will toward them for protection, for defense. And so if you all go out and you give out the bags, you know, it's like, you know, the adults always went with the kids when we went downtown. And whoever the adults were that were there, I know, you know, John and Liz went a couple times. Tammy and I went all the time. Jeffrey was there. You know, we had a few adults that were there. And we pretty much were with a small group of the kids just to be there to watch over. And there were a couple times where it's like, hey, let's move back. This person is either on drugs or mentally unstable in one way, shape, or form. So pray for them, but don't touch. Stay away. Keep your distance.
I think one of the biggest problems that we have now is the secular church. You were talking about in 1 Timothy, what was it for you?
1 Timothy 2.
Teaching things that were not, right. Not really the word.
6:3-5.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of that going on now because the secular church is trying to bend the word to fit different groups.
Right. We're letting, instead of the word changing the culture, we're letting the culture attempt to change the word.
Yeah.
You know.
And Jesus is always going to stay true to what he's the word.
It doesn't change.
You don't put words in his mouth.
Right.
You know, because you're going to get your fingers burned.
Yeah, we advocate. In other words, we speak his words on his behalf. And that's what the attorney does. The attorney knows the law, but he speaks to the client and says, well, my client was here at this place. My client...
So we need to be careful what we advocate for, because if you get out there and you say, well, maybe that does make a little sense to me. Maybe we need...
Yeah.
You know, that's not the word.
Yeah.
You can't add stuff to it.
Yeah. It's, you know, like my whole idea, concept, theory about the planes going into the Twin Towers, and that God has the power to stop at that moment before it hits. Jesus has the power to walk up and down those aisles and talk to people. But that's one of those things where let's not get into that. Let's not talk about it and argue about that kind of a thing, because
we know that he did.
You know,
we have that proof.
Yeah, it's like he is capable of doing all sorts of things that we have no concept of. We have no idea of how he works, how he operates.
We have
what we have in that book.
We had the discussion at one time
the
about
bits
the person,
and bites.
The person committing suicide. You don't know what happened between the moment that he pulled the trigger and then or the second that the bullet hit the head.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
And then how long it may have taken. So, to lay there and regret.
We live in time.
So.
Christ doesn't.
So, Father, we thank you for your authority over us, that by your authority we have been reconciled to you, and that you have entrusted us with this ministry of reconciliation,
yes.
That you have commissioned us to spread the gospel, and that you have given us authority to do so. You have given us authority to be an advocate, to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. So would you help us to understand those things? Can we remember that when we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, when we speak to one another those things that are true and helpful and inspirational and necessary and kind, when we speak those things to one another, help us to speak with that authority, to know that it has come from you, to not second guess, not to question, but to speak those truth things in love with authority. And help us to also remember when our brothers and sisters may speak those things to us, may we be able to receive the things that are true. To no longer listen to the author of lies. To no longer speak on his behalf. to no longer speak like he does. Help us to speak truth. Helps us to understand that we have been authorized by the author. So Lord, have your way. All these situations that we've talked about in people's lives here, we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be with each one. That you would meet them at the point of need. That there would be a provision. We give you praise, Lord. Amen. So.